As you all know, it is customary at this point in the services that we would normally have a sermon from the pulpit, but this is World Missions Sunday in the life of the church. It's a time when we highlight the fact that, by definition, Christianity really is a missionary religion. There are only two missionary religions in the world who have been given a commission to go into all the world and convert people. And those two religions are what? Anybody know? They're Islam and Christianity. And the difference between them is that Islam is commissioned to go out and make converts by any means. Christianity is commanded to go out and make converts by means of the gospel of peace, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church exists by mission as a fire exists by burning, it's been said, and that is absolutely true. And normally on Mission Sunday, as we highlight this commission that we have been given, and incidentally, the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples in Matthew's gospel were the words of the Great Commission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Normally on Mission Sunday, what we do is we bring in some preacher from outside who gets us all riled up about mission. But we decided that this year we would do something a little bit different. We would invite some of our own members who have been engaged in mission and whose lives have been changed by being engaged in mission to come and just share with you how that has changed their life and how they've been inspired to serve the Lord Jesus Christ on short-term mission. My hope and my prayer, and for those of you who have heard what they said at the 8:15, many people were moved, some to tears at the 8:15 service. My hope is that you will be moved as well and understand that it may be the case that God is actually calling you to step out in this way and serve him in a wider capacity. So we have two speakers today. Abby Wallitzer and Dr. Vinnie Rhodes are going to come to the lectern, and they're going to share their story with you, and I pray that you would give them your close attention and see if God isn't speaking through them to you this morning. So ladies first, Abby, if you would be so kind.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Abby Wallitzer. My husband, Neil, and our three children, ages 12, 16, and 18, are members of St. Philip's. I serve on the Home Missions Committee, and I also help organize our church's team for the annual Walk for Water event. I was asked to speak today about my trip to Tanzania this past September with Water Mission. Specifically, I want to discuss my time in Africa, the biggest lesson that I learned from the experience, and finally, why I believe world missions are so important. Water Mission is a Christian engineering nonprofit founded by our very own Dr. George Green and his late wife Molly that brings both safe water and God's love to developing countries, refugee camps, and disaster zones around the world. When our family joined St. Philip's, Water Mission was actually the very first fellowship opportunity presented to us. It was written up in the East Spire, an opportunity to tour the International Water Missions headquarters in North Charleston. So we went, looking to get more involved in our new city, to meet more parishioners, and it certainly did that for us. I was immediately drawn to Water Mission, having formerly worked as an epidemiologist. It just seemed like the perfect place for me to volunteer, combining my love of Jesus and my heart for public health. I became one of the Charleston advocates, focusing primarily on the education initiative, which teaches area youth about the global water crisis. So let that be a reminder to all of you, when you see these experiences in the East Spire, take advantage of them. You never know where the Spirit will lead you if you just say yes and show up to learn more. By traveling to Tanzania, I was able to witness firsthand the transformative power that safe water can provide, both physically and spiritually. It was remarkable to see how funds raised right here in Charleston, particularly at the Walk for Water event, provide such a remarkable improvement in people's lives. Since 2013, Water Mission has worked in some of the driest and poorest regions of Tanzania, where 40% of the population lack access to safe drinking water, and 3 in 4 to basic sanitation. It took 3 flights and a train, nearly 2 full days, to reach the capital city of Dodoma, but I made it. I met up with the other members of our group, including donors and some Water Mission staff members from the United States. Each morning of our trip began with breakfast and with our small group coming together in prayer, discussing, and reflecting on a devotional passage together. On the first day of the trip, we toured the office at Dodoma to meet and enjoy fellowship with in-country staff. These local men and women work tirelessly to assess community needs, manage projects, and ensure the long-term sustainability of the water filtration systems, covering roles from engineering to project management to community development. I remember asking the staff, if we could increase your resources, how much work do you have to complete to bring safe water to the people here? And their answer was absolutely shocking. The need is so great, they said, that even if we doubled their financial resources, it could take 20 years to bring safe water to the Dodoma region. There are that many rural villages that need help, and that's just one region in one country of sub-Saharan Africa alone. The next day, we traveled by Jeep over 3 more hours via bumpy red dirt roads to a last mile community. Do keep that in mind, that the in-country staff, in order to help their rural neighbors design and install their water systems, can travel 6 hours a day, day after day. They are dedicated and they are amazing. We were greeted in this village like celebrities. The community were dressed in their finest traditional clothing and performed original songs and dances with drums and their voices to welcome us. Here, despite the joyful welcome, is where we learn the harsh reality of life without safe water access. We toured their current water source, a pond containing deep brown water in which a dog was splashing. Women and children gather here daily, often walking several miles to collect the water their family will need for the day, from everything from washing to drinking to animal care. We met the dedicated nurse of their health clinic, which serves 5,000 villagers, with no running water or functional latrine. That means that all basic health care, from burns to broken bones to gastrointestinal trouble, cuts and scrapes, even childbirth, all without running water. This eager community was working hand in hand with the Dodoma staff to get their water system up and running. They had been quite literally hard at work, digging 20 kilometers of trenches for future pipeline into dry and compacted earth. When I think back to this memorable day, I recall the heat and thirst I experienced as we toured the village and chatted via Swahili interpreters with the local people. I knew a water bottle was in my backpack containing clear, clean water. Yet because I didn't have enough to share, I couldn't take a sip for the entire day. Not until we had said our goodbyes and driven away back towards Dodoma could I reach for the water that we all take for granted. I drank and drank, knowing that this water wouldn't make me sick. This simple act of safe refreshment is not an option for too many of God's people in our broken world today. The next day, we visited another rural community where a water mission system is newly operational. We heard testimonies from community leaders, teachers, and a physician about the impact of the water systems. Attendance at the local school has gone up as children no longer have to leave class early to collect water for their families. Girls are able to stay in school because clean water and functional latrines readily available on site mean that menstruation is no longer a barrier to their education. We were particularly impacted by the testimony of a physician at their local health center. When asked about how life had changed since the water system was installed, he spoke about how grateful he is to be able to wash patients' bed sheets and mop the floors. It's difficult even to imagine. Even more so than the drinking, it was about providing that comfort and dignity for his patients that mattered to him. We played a rowdy soccer game with the local school children under the bright Tanzania sun. It was so incredibly hot. And I say that as someone who is used to the heat and the humidity of the South. Afterwards, we all raced to the new water mission installed fountains to refresh ourselves. And that's when I realized we didn't see the kids playing sports like this in the other village. There, the kids have been walking, sitting, because how could they? How could a child work up a sweat playing without the water to quench him afterwards? This village also showed appreciation to Water Mission with original creations of song and dance and the gift of 2 goats. I thought that was just an honorary thing, but in fact, the local staff were so excited, so they took the goats back with us to Dodoma in our Jeeps to fatten them up for a barbecue. I think the goats knew their fate because the bleating was so incredibly loud the whole way back. The hardest part of this mission trip was actually what happened when my plane landed back in Chicago. For the first time, I was alone, without the songs and the dancing, without that circle of believers. The volunteers I had traveled with and the dedicated local staff in Tanzania, their energy and dedication had been so inspiring that week. I was heading to my gate and just stopped in front of a series of large vending machines, all filled with row after row of bottled water. And I looked across the corridor to see an airport bar and grill with pitchers of drinks being served, even with ice. And I just completely broke down, crying right there in the middle of an airport terminal. Bob Pierce, the founder of the Christian humanitarian organization World Vision, once prayed, "Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God." And I think it was that juxtaposition of our developed world with the developing world that I had just visited that broke my heart in two. It just felt so unfair, and I know it breaks God's heart too. I was very fortunate that Dr. Green talked me through some of these feelings. I told him that since coming home, I was starting to feel like the need was too great, that the water crisis was something that could never be fixed. And I was struck by his answer. He said, "That's Satan talking, not God." That was extremely eye-opening to me. Like that famous quote put it, I had shrunk Jesus down to the size where he could save my soul, but now didn't believe he could change the world. It is indeed a lie that problems like a lack of safe water don't have a solution, that these issues are too big to solve. And it's a lie that holds us back from doing the very work we are called by God to do. As you all know, God has a way of talking to us through the scripture we encountered. And around that time, I came across the story of Acts 8. You may recall that that's when the angel visits Philip and tells him to head south to the desert road leading out of Jerusalem. There, Philip finds the eunuch and he ends up baptizing him. And I was struck by it because before Philip shows up, the eunuch was in his chariot reading Isaiah, the very passage that prophesies the Messiah. That realization was like a weight lifted off my shoulders because God was already at work in the eunuch's life before Philip even arrived on the scene. You see, Vinny and I, we didn't travel to places where Jesus isn't. And Jesus is still at work there after we arrived back home in Charleston. Jesus calls us to partner with him in the work he is already doing, reconciling himself to all things. When we get disheartened about the magnitude of the world's suffering, we can remember that we don't have to do it all. In fact, we can't do it all. God is at work in the spirit, in the church, in the world. We are simply called to participate. And in fact, I'm delighted to report that the work is being done. Water Mission is working to register a separate religious organization in Tanzania to launch their Living Water program. That is their church and community mobilization program that strengthens and equips local churches to help people come into a relationship with Jesus. And that village I went to should receive their flowing safe water this spring. I want to close with a call for us to all do our part in world missions. Richard Stearns, in his memoir, The Hole in Our Gospel, reminds us that God appointed us to be his ambassadors. And indeed, Paul in 2 Corinthians wrote, we are Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We are called to go out, to proclaim the good news, to be the good news, and to change the world. Living our faith privately, in other words, simply with personal belief, worship, and fellowship within our Christian community, that's not enough. We don't have the option as believers to turn away from the world's dire needs. Does that mean we all pack our bags and head to Tanzania? No, that's not realistic for a lot of us. But it does mean that our support for the missions at St. Philip's is of vital theological significance, whether it's engaging in the ministries themselves through our prayers or through our financial gifts. We at St. Philip's are called to a public and transforming relationship with the world. Thank you.
Well, good morning, my fellow St. Philippians. I hope everyone is well and warm. First of all, I want to thank you for allowing me, myself and Abby, to speak to you this morning. Thank you, Jeff, for the invitation. Much appreciated. I met with Jeff on the telephone a while back, and he said we needed to speak for 12 minutes. Well, 12 minutes seems like a very short period of time until you have to fill it in front of all of these people. And good heavens, there are a lot more people here than there were at the earlier service. So you might have to excuse my nerves a little bit. But I want to take an opportunity to tell you or speak with you about a couple of things. One will be my my personal journey to mission work, and I would hope that that would inspire and touch some folks out there in the audience who may be teetering on that possibility. And then the second will be to speak specifically about our mission in Liberia. We partner with Three Rivers Outreach, which is run by Sonny Dupree. Some of you may know him. He's a parishioner at St. Andrew's. We also partner with St. Andrew's Church. And so I am relatively new to the World Missions team here at St. Philip's. But I wanted to take a second also to recognize that World Missions team. Many of you probably don't know what they do, but I can tell you that this group of people works a lot and very tirelessly through a lot of prayer and a lot of discernment and meetings to make sure that the money that you donate to World Missions goes to the appropriate place and to the appropriate people. And so I just wanted to point that out, that the World Missions team here is very active and doing an incredible job. So I'd like to begin by telling you a little bit about my journey towards mission work. And I wish that I could stand up here and tell you that it's been a lifelong dream of mine that was finally fulfilled in the latter stages of my life, but that's actually not true. I was not only not interested in mission work, I was frankly vehemently opposed to it, not for any moral reasons or anything. I just felt like it was a waste of time. I was first exposed to an invitation to do mission work very early in my medical residency. And over the next 3 years, I was probably asked to go 7 or 8 times. And again, I felt like, that's crazy. What good can I possibly do by going to somewhere in Africa or somewhere in Central America just for a week when I can stay here in South Carolina and practice medicine on the people that I can help here? Now, I'm not proud of that fact, but it remains a fact, and it's going to be illuminated a little further in my talk how that became important. Fast forward a few years, and I land in Beaufort, where I sat in the balcony, typically on the right side, and listened to Jeff preach for years, and listened to many World Mission Committee meetings or World Mission sermons. But quite frankly, the only thing that came to my mind was, A, I don't have time for that. B, it would cost me too much money to leave my practice to go do that. And C, what good would I be doing anyway? They're just going to fall right back into the same, frankly, pit that they were in before I got there. And that's really what my mindset was. I didn't have time for it. And frankly, I was doing too much work here at home. Fast forward to 2012. And I had quite the fall from grace. This chokes me up sometimes, so excuse me. After nearly 20 years of practicing medicine, I lost my license due to addiction and alcoholism. It's safe to say that I was a broken man. My life was over. And frankly, I had wasted a God-given talent, and I was left with, what am I going to do now? And by God's providence, and by God's redemptive nature, He restored me. I don't deserve the applause, but thank you. I also distinctly remember sitting in that very same balcony. I used to sit in the balcony because it was easy to leave after communion and not be noticed. Sorry, Jeff. There was a time that God whispered in my ear. Now, He probably shouted in my ear, and you'll recall that I said I didn't have time for missionary work. Do you have time now? True story. Well, we know from Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 8 that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. And so with that, fast forward to 2015, God put back in my life Sonny Dupree, who is, again, my childhood best friend, whom I've probably not seen in 20 years, and he and I began talking about the possibility of medical mission work in Liberia. Well, that talk went on for over 8 years, and I began to think, this isn't going to happen. This is taking too long, almost as long as 12 minutes to fill this talk. but it did happen, and through his grace and through his redemptive nature, and by the fact that he doesn't always call the equipped, but he certainly equips the called, because that was me. I was not equipped at all to do this. I had no training in doing this, and frankly, neither did Sonny when it came to a medical mission. But finally, in 2023, we were called to go to Liberia and begin a fact-finding trip. We did, and we visited the various hospitals, most of which, by the way, you would not take your pets into. That's how pitiful their system is. There is no running water in most public buildings whatsoever. In order to flush a toilet, they've got a 55-gallon drum sitting beside the toilet, and you dip water into it. Those are in public buildings. But in 2023, we went, and I can tell you that my first thought about the entire country was, A, I think I am at the end of the earth. If it's not the poorest country in Africa, it's got to be close. Secondly, nothing about that country was anything but chaos, pure corruption, and frankly, just in a state of disarray. They are very poor people. A huge monthly salary would be $100 US. That's what they might earn in a month, if they earn anything at all. Most of the vast majority of them don't have a job. The point behind the chaos was, after all this year, after all these years, and after all this planning, and after all this prayer, I was scared to tell Sonny my real feelings, which was, this is crazy, it's never going to work. What difference can two people, that's all we had, we don't have a large organization or One World Health, nothing wrong with those organizations, but we just didn't have them, it was just he and I, or is just he and I. What could we possibly do? This place is chaotic and it's crazy. And I'm reminded of the story, many of you know it already, of the young girl walking down the beach, and she stumbled upon tens of thousands of sand dollars that had washed up on the beach, and she began throwing them back in the ocean. When a gentleman came by and said, well, young lady, you're not making any difference. There's too many of them. And she picked one up and threw it back in the water, and she said, well, I made a difference to that one. And that's really the story that got me to commit to going to Liberia. Now that's my journey to mission. Again, somebody who not only didn't want to go, was opposed to going. This coming March will be my 7th trip. We go every 6 months. And so I thought I'd tell you a little bit about that mission. We decided when we were over there, we were initially going to create a big, large building, and we were going to treat all kinds of things, and we were going to treat their malaria and their typhoid and all the various ailments that they had. But after a lot of prayer and discernment, it became very evident that we needed to do something that was going to be repeatable and sustainable and make an impact in their lives. The concept of primary care, going to your family doctor, your internist, on a regular basis to check your blood pressure or your diabetes, that's a completely foreign concept to them. They don't, 95% of them will never see a physician in their life, period. They don't have access to it. And even if they did have access to it, they can't afford the medications. So what our goal is to create a primary care clinic where we hope to see the same people back as often as possible. We go every 6 months. To put it in perspective, and to go back to the sand dollar analogy, we started out with 26 patients on the first time that we ever went. We now see over 550 patients every time we go, and we've seen over 3,000 patients. Now, here's the point of the whole talk, and here's the most beautiful part. The vast majority of those people are practicing Christians. But fully one-third of the people who come to see us practice the Muslim faith. Now, it's not my job to convert them. That certainly belongs to the Holy Spirit. But they are exposed to the loving care of people who follow Jesus Christ. They know that we're there and we're going to come back. We see them unconditionally and love them unconditionally. And so I have to believe that Jesus Christ is moving in those people and the Holy Spirit. So back to the Great Commission, which obviously is what this is all about. If our talks, if mine and Abby's talks in any way touch you, or you feel like you might want to engage in mission work, whether it's through support or actually going, we'd love to have you. So thanks for letting me spend some time with you, and I hope you have a great day.
I want to thank Vinny and Abby for taking the time to speak to us today. You know, for those of us who have the gift of the gab and get up here on a regular basis every Sunday, this is not too intimidating, but for some people, public speaking is a terrifying prospect. And to get up here in front of a congregation of many people that you don't know and be vulnerable, like they both were, telling you how God broke their hearts and brought them to a place where they have a love for the lost, that's an amazing thing, and it's a powerful thing. And my prayer is that, and I believe that there's probably somebody out there this morning who's been moved by what they've said. And you may be thinking to yourself, I'm not called to this sort of thing. I don't want to go on short-term mission. But you may discover that that is what God is prompting you to do at this particular moment. And I just want you to pray about that. That's all you need to do. I have been in many congregations. I said this at the 8:15. I've been in many congregations, but this is the most gifted congregation I've ever served. Tremendous talent and ability in this parish. But there are also tremendous opportunities for us to make a difference for the kingdom of God. I would just remind those of you who are retired, there is no retirement in the Christian life. And so you could spend the rest of your life chasing a white ball around a green, which is nothing wrong with that. But you can also spend a portion of your life making a difference for the kingdom of God. Maybe you can't change the world, but you can change a little corner of it. As Vinny said, pick up one starfish and throw it back into the water. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are so grateful for these two, our brother and our sister, for getting up here and speaking to us today, Lord. We pray that you would move in our hearts and grant us the grace to love the lost and have a desire for those who are different from us and who are in need. We pray, Father, that you would move our hearts with a sense of compassion because you so loved us that you sent your Son into the world. And so, Father, grant us the grace to love that we may go out into that world, into your harvest field, and make a difference for your kingdom. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.